Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, on Apple Podcasts, and on Android. We recommend Five Reasons YouTube channel or Spotify. Also, check out our new Discord server. It's still kind of new. $2.99 per month. Communicate with Heat fans and with us. Also, get the latest draft and free agent news first. We put things first there these days, everybody. Link is right here in the description of the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Again, this is Off the Floor, our Discord server. Check it out for $2.99 per month. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. A lot of rain last week, right? Particularly in my way, in Broward County East. You might want to reach out to our friends over at Water Cleanup. If you think you got a leak, they can do the leak detection for you, the damage assessment. They'll do everything. Of course, we recommend the preventative coverage. Check them out at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. More than 75-star reviews on Google. They service all the way from Boca on down. Actually, they service north of that as well, but we know a lot of our listeners are south, so we do want to tell you they will service Dade and Broward counties. Check them out at Water Cleanup of Florida on Twitter and WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. We are in draft season. We'll be getting you more draft coverage as we go forward here. I can tell you that Alex and Brady will likely be at the arena for the draft. I will actually likely be in New York for the draft. Greg will be anchoring a lot of our coverage. You can also, of course, check it out on the Discord server, as I mentioned, and on playback.tv/5RSN. So we're looking forward to this draft, the Miami Heat pick 15th. We're also looking back at past drafts and what happened during those drafts and whether or not they took the right player and how history might have been different if they had taken someone else. So essentially what we're doing is we've thrown a bunch of these years into a hat. And since we do have a couple of different platforms here, Five on the Floor, we drafted first. I'll just say that. We drafted first because I made that rule. But Eternal, Matt, those guys, they're going to get to do a lot of cool stuff on Playback, and we'll join them for some of that as well, where they're going to take some of the other years. So we're going to start here with the year that changed the Miami Heat franchise, which was 2003. And we're going to look back at what led up to this. Now, we did consider doing some drafts prior to this, and we might by the end of this time. Depends how many days of episodes we need to fill. So we could have done 2002 with a Caron Butler draft. And of course, there were the pre-Riley drafts, Cycli, Harold Miner, Glenn Rice, which I know is one Greg probably would have wanted to do, Willie Burton, Sherman Douglas. You know, there was
Harold Miner.
Harold Miner, but we know that like we'd be boring Alex and Brady to death. So we didn't really want to go that direction. Yeah, we didn't want to go back quite that far. And so you know, we figured at least we'd start in this millennium. And we're starting with Dwayne Wade. 2003, fifth pick overall. I want to take this back a little bit before we get to the actual selection of Dwayne. And the fact that this is 21 years ago is just making me really ill. But what people have to remember is that the Heat were in a two-year funk, okay? The Heat's valleys haven't lasted very long under Pat Riley, but they had some, okay? And in this particular one, it was like, okay, trying to create a new build. So they had the Zoe build, the Zoe and Timmy build, which was successful except for the playoff results, really. Like, regular season, it was really good. 1 year, they beat the Knicks. They advanced to lose to Jordan in the conference finals. The other 3 years, they lost to the Knicks in heartbreaking fashion in the final game. And then, of course, they pivoted around Zoe and brought in some other players, Eddie Jones, Brian Grant, Anthony Mason. But then Zoe got sick. And so that didn't pan out the way they wanted. And so essentially, they had this one really weird year, which was 2001-2002, where it was like every, like, seventh man on another team ended up on the Heat, right? Like, Greg, let's go through the list. You do one and I'll do one, okay? Here, I'll do one first. Travis Best.
Kendall Gill.
Cedric Ceballos.
Malik Allen.
Was he that year? I think he came in later.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
He wasn't one of those journeymen. I'll give you another. Jimmy Jackson, who actually hit a bunch of big shots. Like, if you were
Rod Strickland.
Rod Strickland. Did Rod Strickland, Kendall Gill, or Jimmy Jackson ever play for the Heat? The majority of people would say no, right? Like, yep. That year didn't happen. Although Jimmy Jackson was really good for them. Gill was okay. Best wasn't bad.
Was it 06, 07, or 07, 08? Like, when they had Penny Hardaway? That might have been 07, 08.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that.
That was another weird year.
The most random guys to ever show up on the Heat. Mo Harkless.
Chris Quinn. I think he came in as a part of that too.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, look, this 2001-2002 team, again, it just like they were just shuffling in parts. You know, I just remember Cedric Ceballos eating a lot of Cheetos before games. That's my memory of that season. Love
Heat culture, baby.
That's right. That was not a Heat culture season. 2010. 2002, though, they drafted 10th. And again, we're not going to do that draft today, but it was really the first big break that the Heat had caught in a draft in a while, which was Caron Butler, who was supposed to go top five or six, slipped to 10. Now, there's another draft we're going to do, 2015, where a player slipped to 10, and it actually kind of effed up their sort of plan, which, you know, justice, not necessarily better. But that was 2015. But in 2002, like the Caron Butler, absolute slam dunk. He was great. Yes, he was great in college at UConn, and of course, he's still with the organization now. But that team was awful. Eddie Jones was kind of like the carryover star who wasn't supposed to be. He was being paid like one, but really, they didn't expect him to have to be the lead guy. And so you had Eddie, you had Cedric Ceballos. I think that year was the year Malik Allen came in, right? Like, I feel like that was a Malik Allen
year. He was on the team the year before, but he started the year that you're referencing. And they also had Anthony Carter and Travis Best as their point guards. I remember heading into the draft that we're about to talk about. It was all about, are you going to upgrade at the four or upgrade at the one? Those were like the two mm-hmm. key points for Heat fans. And it was just interesting to see that lead up to the draft.
Yeah, no doubt. And so let's go to the lead up to the draft, which actually goes back further, which I will never forget. I've worked around Tim Donovan, VP of Media Relations, I believe is the official title now, or maybe it's a bigger title than that. Tim, of course, for those who don't know, came down with Pat Riley from the Knicks. Tim's been here very, 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 he doesn't want me to remind him, but he's been here a very long time. It is unusual to have a PR director. And then not only that, but the number two with the Heat, Rob Wilson's been here almost as long. He came in from UM a few years later. So Tim, I can remember, I'm making a phone call to me. He was not happy about a column that I wrote for the Sun Sentinel, because I wrote that the Heat should lose their last game of the 2002-2003 season to get a better chance to move up to try to get Chris Bosh. And if for people who don't remember the circumstances of this, it was LeBron, right? And there was this kind of, you know, like folklore story about Darko Milicic. And then there was additionally Carmelo, who had just come off, you know, a national championship in his one season in college. And then it got a little murky, but it was, the feeling was that Bosh was probably the fourth best player. Of course, and as we talk about this draft, you know, what happened between number two and number three, essentially what I was told was that Larry Brown did not want Carmelo with Detroit. I was actually told that by Rip Hamilton. So that's a pretty good source, I would think. And so essentially, yeah, I agree. So essentially, they took Milicic, and he was a bust. I mean, I shouldn't say, but there's a current Heat player who played with
Jerry's Darko.
Darko was getting paid more than this player in Minnesota. This player was the best player on the Wolves. You could probably figure out who that player was. It was not Jimmy. And the idea that Darko would be paid more than Kevin Love at any point is sort of outrageous. But anyway, he was the number two pick of the draft, and Carmelo was third. And of course, if Detroit took Carmelo, you never know what would have happened. They ended up winning a championship going forward with Tayshaun Prince as their three. But if they'd gotten Carmelo, would he have been the sixth man to start? You never know, because Darko didn't contribute to that team. So anyway, I'll let you guys jump in here, but I just want to close the loop on what happened the last day of the regular season. So they should have lost to Toronto. And it was admitted to me later that, yes, we should have lost to Toronto, but we suck at that. And so they won. And so that put the Heat in the number five spot in the draft. But if you go back to the projections of that draft, Dwayne Wade was not supposed to go five. He was supposed to go nine to the Bulls. Okay? That was the feeling, that he would end up in Chicago. Now, you guys remember who Chicago drafted?
Kirk Heinrich.
There you go. Who ended up being a pain in the ass for Dwayne his entire career, basically. And actually, Kirk Heinrich is the answer to another great trivia question, because he was the impetus for the whole shut up and manage your own team thing, because it was Kirk Heinrich's dirty foul that ended the Heat's 27-game winning streak in Chicago that led LeBron to whine about it after the game, which led Danny Ainge to whine about it on WEEI, which led LeBron to tell us in New Orleans that he was annoyed at Danny Ainge, which led Pat Riley to try to save the long-term future of LeBron with the Heat, which didn't work, by basically telling Danny Ainge to shut the fuck up and manage his own team. And of course, you know, that's the legend of all that stuff. So anyway, they were supposed to lose that game to Toronto. They didn't. Okay. They were,
thank God.
Right. Do you guys remember who they were projected to take at five?
I know a couple guys.
Came in board.
One, it was named Maciej Lampe, was a big mock draft guy. Like, if you go back there were a lot of people that had him as the Malik Allen replacement as a four for Miami at the five pick. But also, there was a lot of people that had Chris Kamen. And then the two guards, TJ Ford and Kirk Heinrich. Yeah. I was on the Kirk Heinrich bandwagon. I thought he'd slide next to Eddie Jones. You'd have a starter. That's where I was heading. See, I wasn't thinking big enough, because obviously they got Dwayne and that changed everything. But those were the names to me that, as I, you know, kind of think back to that draft, those were the ones that I had keened in on the most. And I like TJ Ford a lot, but I just didn't think that they'd take that small of a guard. Heinrich was who I was expecting. I was surprised that it was Dwayne Wade. But then the minute I saw him play, I knew that it would be a fit, and we can talk about that later. But those were the names that were floating around that I remember.
Yeah, I Heinrich and Ford were the two that I heard the most. I you know, it's funny because Pat will dispute, as you guys know, he will dispute that he was going to take Chris Kamen. In fact, he's brought that up at a couple of press conferences since, because he knows that that's a narrative. Some will say he was going to take Chris Kaman. Of course, he's framed it as we discussed a lot of guys, and I can't remember exactly what he said, so I apologize if I'm misstating his viewpoint on this. But, you know, again, the legend of this came out that essentially Pat was on the treadmill watching Kentucky in the Elite Eight against Dwayne. And Dwayne had, like, that was his breakout. I remember watching that and being like, wait, that kid's an NBA. Like, that, I mean, he looks like an NBA star type player. He had an NBA body and all of that. But there was some buzz around Kaman, but I'm with you, Greg. It was more Ford and Heinrich, I think. And it's actually kind of flipped because Heinrich ended up going 9. So I just want to get to it's interesting to look back at this. So, Alex, I'll quiz you on some of this, okay? If I was to say to you, okay, here we go. So basically, if I know you don't think this is a perfect statistic, but I'll give it to you because it's over a large enough sample size. VORP, which is this basketball reference stat that they use, which I don't know, box score estimate of the points per 100 team possessions that a player contributed above the replacement of the player, translated to average team and prorated to an 82 game season. Okay, multiplied by 2.70 to convert to wins over replacement. All right.
LeBron value James, over replacement player.
Correct. Thank you. Value over replacement player. LeBron James was VORP. Is 151.9. I could just, it's outrageous. Who is second in that draft? Alex?
Dwayne?
Yes. And it wasn't particularly close, actually. So Dwayne went 5, and he was at 62.8. Carmelo was at 36.7.
So this is over the span of their careers.
Yeah.
Yes. While playing 3 more years than Dwayne.
Wow.
Bosh was at 31.1, and of course his career was cut short. David West was 5th. And he was drafted 18th at the time by, I guess, New Orleans, right? And Kyle Korver was 6th. Out of Creighton, the 51st pick in that draft.
Mm-hmm. That kind of tracks. Like, I mean, David West was really good for New Orleans at a certain point there. And then mm-hmm. he was like just a big part of those Pacers teams. Korver was a part of some good teams too and was one of the best shooters. Like, that kind of tracks. But the fact that it's a big difference between him and Melo, I think, is what kind of stands out there.
Yeah. Well, and it's not particularly surprising to me, except for the fact that Dwayne played 8,000 fewer minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you go down this list a little bit, it's then Boris Diaw, who's picked 21st, Heinrich, Matt Bonner.
Finally, Josh another Powell. Lottery pick. Heinrich got in there. You see how many non-lottery picks you're saying right now?
Exactly. And then Matt Bonner, Josh, 45th. Well, Josh Howard, who was picked 29th. I didn't have the best moments against the Heat in the finals. Mo Williams, Leandro Barbosa, Luke Ridenour, and then you get to Carlos Delfino and our own James Jones, who actually was 15th.
That's a good draft.
Even though he's picked 49th. Yes, and then TJ Ford. And TJ Ford's a little unfair. He played 8 seasons. He had back problems, and so that's why he was out of league. By the way, just for the record, Kendrick Perkins ended up 24th in VORP of this draft. He was picked 27th. Oh, he did win a championship that we never fail to hear the end of, honestly. So when we come back for break, I want to go to you guys on this. Kind of when you knew that not only was this the right pick, but this was like a franchise-changing player. Before we get to that, though, tell you a little bit about our friends over at Jerseys 305. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with Five Reason Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handles, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. When did you know, Greg?
It was early. It was like preseason. You could just tell that there was I remember I got a text from somebody that said he's already the best player on that team. And I didn't believe it because I thought it was Lamar Odom, the prized free agent acquisition. And it was pretty apparent very early that it was Dwayne. I'll never forget just early in that year, they lost a ton to start that season. And the fact that they were able to rally and get all the way up to the four seed in a weird conference where 42 wins got you a four seed. There were moments like he dunked on Christian Laettner. I was at a game in that first year, and it was one of the most athletic plays a Heat player I think has ever made. And so there were just those moments, right, until the playoffs came. And then obviously the story goes as the story goes. But it was very early on, I would say, preseason, even just that first game in Philly, you could see flashes.
Speaking of flash, well, he wasn't that yet. Alex?
So it's definitely a different answer for me because I didn't start liking the sport of basketball until about 2005, kind of late 2005. So I was already, you know, it had already been a couple seasons deep into the Wade experience. What I will say, though, is he is the reason I fell in love with the sport. Right. Like the just watching him play, somebody who can be that athletic and that agile, that explosive, and also with just that amount of skill, it was just a joy to watch, you know. And he was, you know, he was an extremely influential just person as far as, like, you know, me growing up, just because I tuned into every game because of him. And, you know, that's, I guess that kind of speaks for itself in that way. And, you know, the first season that I fully started to watch every game for the Heat is when they won the championship. So it's kind of, you know, I've had a nice little experience here, right? But, you know, D-Wade is the reason why I got into it.
That's what That's what
I wasn't a sports guy. I wasn't a sports guy as a kid, and then I played NBA Street. You know, shout out to those that have played it. And NBA Street, like, I'm like, oh, basketball is awesome. I'm going to start following the NBA. And then it's like, oh, wait, we have this, like, stud on our team who is just insane to watch every night. And then see, like, what happened, and he won a championship at 24, which, like, not many superstars have done. So, you know, just getting to watch that, you know, right from the beginning, you know, it was just awesome.
Well, when I was writing, I think I wrote more words about Dwayne Wade than anybody else. In fact, I don't even think it was close. although Bleacher Report got me to write a lot about LeBron, but I would say from the beginning, you know, there's three athletes I've covered from the beginning of their Hall of Fame careers till the end. Dwayne, Jason Taylor, and Zach Thomas.
That's a cool list.
Dwayne, though, yeah, and they're all great guys, obviously. Him too, yeah. No, and I will say I'm proud that I have really good relationships with all three. I appreciate all three of them in different ways, and I can't believe I didn't go to any of their three Hall of Fame ceremonies for various conflicts and other reasons. More than five reasons, but I regret that. I'll say that with Dwayne, there are a couple things here. The first thing was at the opening press conference. You know, I have a column that I cannot find because anything I was right about gets scratched from the web. But I loved the pick from the very beginning. And I wrote, it was, and the fans loved the pick. I was at the arena and the fans loved the pick. And I think it was because they recognized the name. It was, and they couldn't spell it, but they recognized the name because, you know, there were a lot of foreign guys that were starting to get drafted then. And it was like, so they were getting mixed in with these college players that they'd seen. So, you know, that was the first thing, was kind of, I titled it The Innocent Beginning. That's what Pat titled it that day. And I remember, Dwayne was very modest and, soft-spoken, didn't really have a lot to say. Obviously his personal life changed over time, in quite a few ways from that opening press conference, but,
son
was in his lap. Zaire was in his lap, and I can remember, and he was talking about his shoe collection. I do remember that. But where I kind of got it was Summer League. He faced LeBron's team. I was in Orlando, and you know, and Dwayne put on a show in that game. There were glimpses, and everybody was there to watch Bron, but there were glimpses of Dwayne in that game. I was also in Philadelphia for that game that you mentioned, Greg, where he went up against Iverson, which is a game he talked about in his Hall of Fame speech. But I think that the real moment for me actually came a little bit later. And people are going to talk about the New Orleans series and all that, and the shot in the lane. And I have a particular affinity for that one because I'm sitting there looking goofy in my glasses right behind the baseline as he makes the shot. But there was another moment in that series that struck me, which was Dwayne struggled some in that series. People don't remember, like, that first playoff series, he had three awful shooting games. But he bounced back after every one. And that, to me, was kind of the sign of resilience with him that lasted throughout his career and ended up becoming a commercial, right? Fall down seven, get up eight. And you kind of saw it in that series. And it wasn't just the runner in the lane. There was a huge three he made in that series also. And that's why it stuck out so much when our good friend Stan Van Gundy took him off the floor in that last game against Indiana, a series in which he announced himself more publicly with the dunk over Jermaine. But he took him off the floor for Rafer Alston because Rafer had a better chance to make a three there. But I think that was the last time Dwayne Wade was ever taken off the floor at the end of the game. So to me, it was more that New Orleans series that it was like, okay, because the other thing people don't remember about Dwayne's rookie season was it was choppy. There were times in there where there were a lot of turnovers. He was playing a position he wasn't supposed to play before. But I'm going to cycle back to that original column because I always throw this in because Dan Le Batard's beaten me at everything in life. But that particular day, because Dan, and that's why I'm so pissed that I can't find this column online when I literally saw it there 3 months ago. Damn you, Sun Sentinel. Dan didn't like the pick. And because he said they had Eddie Jones. And that's why, as we pivot ahead to this draft, you do not pass on a premium talent or generational talent because he plays the same position as the guy you have. You figure it out. And they figured it out. They played Dwayne at point for the first year, moved Eddie, kept Eddie at the two, and then moved Eddie to the three the next year. And that's that was the direction that they went. So a lot of moments there. I mean, this is one of the easier ones for us to encapsulate. The franchise would be entirely different. I mean, there's just no way. If they take Kirk Heinrich there, like Shaq's never there. There's no championship in 2006. None of that happens, right? Bron's never here. Like, none of it. Like, I mean, Kirk Heinrich.
No Jimmy.
Scrappy. Right, no Jimmy. Kirk Heinrich, scrappy player. Well, maybe Jimmy would have been here because, well, no, he wouldn't have because Kirk Heinrich would have been there. Dwayne would have been in Chicago, maybe.
It wouldn't have been good.
It wouldn't have been good. I mean, who knows? But this is just one of those, like, we're going to get, and these other draft episodes are going to be like, all right, well, maybe they could have looked at this guy, could have looked at that guy. There was no room for regret here other than
they needed more size.
Well, and they didn't hit on their second round pick, Jerome Beasley. Don't forget.
No, they did not. Nor did they hit on their 2008 pick, Michael Beasley, which is going to be another episode that we get to.
I say one more thing really quick.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry about that. I just wanted to say, like, you know, just hearing you talk about it, like, it really is telling, you know, those circumstances with that draft, because it's kind of informed the way that they've handled the draft ever since, as far as like taking the best player available over positional fit. Another thing, like you talked about Dwayne playing point guard, even though they knew he was a two guard, and even though Eddie Jones was there in that spot already as a, you know, kind of a solidified player, that's something that they've kind of done with their other draft picks, where it's like they kind of put them in, you know, take them out of their comfort zone, you know, for guys that are higher up, you know, like foundational pieces, and be like, okay, we're going to try to get you to learn some of these skills. You might not be elite at them, but you're going to learn them, get these while playing these reps kind of out of position, or if it's in a kind of a different role, maybe more handling than you expected to. And I think like they've done that obviously to lesser extents, but throughout the years with, I don't know, like Tyler, Josh, not really Bam, because he was just kind of he was pigeonholed into that backup five role. But as Bam, you know, became a starter, they've constantly added more and more to his plate. So even there, like, you could find plenty of examples throughout the years. Justice, right, when he was, you know, they finally gave him like point guard duties, that you know, a lot of those same kind of you know, that line of thinking has been applied, right? And you're seeing it now with Jovic and Hakez to different extents. The other thing is, like you mentioned at the top, that they should have lost that game. No, they shouldn't have. And I think that's really informed what they've done since, maybe to a fault, some might argue. I don't really feel that way. Yeah. But I you know, it's, I guess, whether or not, like, you take the
karma of the game
or basketball idea seriously, because it's like they didn't lose that game. They play to win, and then they end up with a better player anyway. The guy that they should have, you know, quote unquote, lost the game for ends up.
And they got Chris Bosh anyway.
Yeah. And they got LeBron too. So, like, I know, so there was no reason to tank the number one pick.
There's no way that hasn't like influenced some of their decisions ever since, as far as like whether or not like you lose the last game of the season for better draft position.
No, it's fair. I mean, they talk about the karma of the game a lot. But they did end up with three. There's a great trivia question too. Look it up sometime. Because we talk about the 2003 draft, we're not going to get as much of the 1992 draft, because actually the Heat picked a player, but it's not the one that everybody remembers playing for the Heat. But the Heat had basically like the whole top 10 ended up playing for the Heat at one point or another, like Leitner, you know, obviously Shaq plus and Zoe, guys that they did not draft. They all ended up playing. Even I think Todd Day, even although I don't know, he actually played a game for Miami because Pat told him to go home. But this particular draft, they end up with one, 4 and 5, playing together. Although those are not the numbers that they wore with the Heat. Of course, they wore 1, 3, and 6 differently. But again, the 2003 draft is the draft that made this franchise what it became, honestly. And there's you know, it's just one of those things. Sometimes you just pull the right lever. I mean, that's it. And then, you know, you have to develop the player, which they did. I think, Alex, you got into that a little bit about him developing more as a point guard and all the rest. And then you have to capitalize. And I think that's where some current Heat fans are frustrated. But they forget that in 2008, 2009, which was arguably the best of Dwayne, the Heat didn't really supplement. They waited to 2010. Are they waiting to supplement Jimmy Butler? We'll see what happens with that. All right. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Alex. Alex, 2008. You're going to enjoy that one. Have a good one, everybody.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big.